Now, if you'll open your Bibles, please, to the Word of God, let's find chapter 41 of Isaiah. 41 of Isaiah. It's a very important chapter, as is all of the Word of God, but we have in front of us a special portion of Scripture. Let's just look at the fourth verse and understand in this fourth verse there is much teaching. The Word is, I am the Lord, the first and with the last, I am He. This is our Father's word to us. And I want to share it with you in this hour that we might understand some more of the greatness and the blessedness of God. There is a young man who listens to the recordings that we send out, and every week we send recordings of sermons all over the place. So I'm sure you know that some go to great distances, some into Alaska, some into South America, some to Africa, and we send them all over the place. But this young man is not yet 3 years old. And when he listens to the tape and he insists that his mother plays it for him, I'm told, as soon as it comes in the mail, he says, that's my grandpa. And so, Adam, I hope you're listening. This is grandpa, and this is for you as well as it's for mummy and daddy. His grandma is with his new brother, whose name is Aaron, Adam James and Aaron Jonathan. Quite a lot of words there. But they'll grow up with them and appreciate that they're biblical and chosen of the Lord. So Adam, listen in and tell Aaron all about it. I'm sure Aaron will understand. I want to share with you, as we look at this precious word, some of the truth that comes from it. If you'll look with me, you'll discover that God is making a very great statement. The statement is that He is, period. Sometimes we feel that God is rather like man. He comes on strong and goes off weak. He comes in with great promises and doesn't accumulate enough energy or enough resources to promote those promises and vanishes from the scene. Somehow, we don't think God is really as great as He is. Very often, we think we should address God when we are married or when we are being born or when we're in some terrible circumstance, but certainly we have to address the attention of God when we die. I'd like us to get away from that thinking if we can and understand three basic things. I believe that we have here in front of us a mercy that is defined. I am God, the first and with the last. I have never changed, says God. I have always been the same yesterday, today, and forever. With Him, says the Scripture, there is no shadow of turning, the idea being on a sundial, that as the sun goes through its orbit, it casts the shadow across the dial and causes the time to be set approximately within about 10 to 15 minutes. If you have a sundial on your wrist, you'll understand that fully. But the new timepieces tell us to the second. And the new timepieces tell us in those seconds that the watches that we now have, the timepieces we have, they surely cannot fail within a tenth of a second in a year. God's sundial does not have to be so precise for man, because, says God, I am the first, period. I am the last, and that's the end of it all. I am. That's why Jesus was able to say, I am. When He was asked who He was, He said, I am. That's why Moses was able to say to Pharaoh, I am hath sent me. That's why we have this great declaration. Now, the mercy is defined for us because God shows this mercy with understanding to those who are not right with Him. Notice in verses 8 and 10, the times that He, or through 10, He says, I have chosen. I have chosen. How can we be so confident that our Father in heaven has somewhat to say to us, and that His mercy reaches out to us? How can we be so sure? Because he says, I have chosen you. I have chosen you. Jesus took up the same expression. He said, I've chosen you. You didn't choose me. I chose you. And I brought you. And I called you. And in order for you to function as a Christian, in order for you to function as a person believing in Christ, I justified you. I caused you to be glorified eventually. I've elected you, it's another word. I have chosen you is the word here. I've elected. That is, I call you, and I called you by name. The mercy of God is this, that in the midst of all humanity, he has chosen some, and he has called those people to himself in order for them to live a holy life and unblameable before God. Says the first chapter of Ephesians, he has justified us, and he has called us, and he has predestined us, and he has caused us to be called the sons, the children of God. Now then, we can look at this with some definition, for the position that is in front of us pleads. And the pleading, I believe, is revealed to us in the Word. Look at verses 8 and 9 once more, and you'll see there, I have chosen thee, is repeated again. He can take, he can declare. In verse 10, look at it. Fear not, I am with thee. Be not dismayed, I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Here we see surely the greatness of God. I am with thee. This is rather like saying that the giraffe is in fellowship with the ant. I am with thee. I, the creator of the ends of the earth, am with thee, intelligent man. I am with thee. The psalmist reviews his intelligence. The psalmist reviews his body. The psalmist reviews his life. The psalmist reviews the whole portion of his living. And he says, what is man that thou art mindful of him? And he expresses, I believe, the expression of many of us. But the greatness of God is that he sees the overview of our lives and says, I love you. I confirm that love by sending Christ to die for you. I come into your life. I come into your experience and I change your life. I choose you to be mine. Now, this might cause some of us to have a theological heart attack, to think that God chose us. But God did, according to his word. Now you can say, but wait a minute, I have a free will. Wait a minute, I have the opportunity to exercise that free will. You do have a free will. There's no question about that. You do have a will and you can exercise it. But God said, follow me. When he said that, you were told by God the Father to cause that will of yours to become subservient to his and to follow him. But you say, where's my intelligence involved? If you measure your intelligence beside God's, you will come up with a figure that is 0.001 or minus 0.001. Who has counseled God at any time? No one. Who has told him how to make the sea or the earth or the heavens to distribute the stars in their galaxies? Who has told God and counseled with him at any time? Absolutely no one. Who has developed the forces to explode in the galaxy, to rearrange the stars, to rearrange the planets, to cause the falling stars to zip across the sky? Man has yet to discover that amount of energy. We haven't counseled God in any time. But listen to this. God said that his son, Jesus, would be our counselor. And we would call his name Wonderful Counselor, Prince of Peace. We would call him that. because he is the mighty God and the everlasting Father. And so we see something of the greatness, I am with thee. Look at the second thing. For here we see something of the glory. He says, I am thy God. Jesus said this. He said, I clothe you with the robe of righteousness. And when the cloth of righteousness is upon you, then you are accepted in the beloved. And you come before the Father accepted in him. And as you come before him, he can't cast you out. I am thy God. That is, those that will trust Jesus Christ as their Lord, those that will trust the Lord Jesus as their Savior, those that will recognize their need of Christ as their Lord and Savior, those dear people will understand they have been called before the foundation of the earth. God has called them. Before they were created in a womb, before that time, God chose them. And they will understand something of his glory. Moses said, I want to see that glory. And God said, no man has seen my glory and lived. But I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll allow you this privilege. If you'll go into the mountain, I'll cover you with my hand. And God covered him with his hand as God, as it were, passed by. And then his hand was removed and Moses saw just the hinder part of the glory of God. And it changed his whole countenance. Rather, as a ship goes along in the sea, instead of actually seeing the ship, he saw the wake. Where the water had parted and was stretching away from the boat, he saw the turmoil. He saw the result of the boat passing through the sea. So he saw the glory of God. And ladies and gentlemen, it changed his appearance. It changed his attitude. It changed his person. It changed his personality. People even didn't want to get too close to him because he glowed like an illuminous dial. And so will you. When the day comes when Jesus Christ enters your life, when the day comes when you recognize the newness of his spirit, when the day comes when you understand that the Lord Jesus is in your life, the glory of the Lord shall be revealed. And it shall shine through every one of us. But here is also the gospel. Look at the words here. I will strengthen thee. Here is the gospel. If you have seen with me just briefly the greatness and the glory, see now the gospel of this wondrous grace. I will strengthen thee. Those of us who are Christians are weak enough. We become physically, sometimes mentally, very weak. And yet our Father in heaven says, I will strengthen thee. There is need of great strength when we walk day by day, hand in hand with our Lord and Savior. There is need to understand the presence of God. I will be thy strength. The young boy who looks up at his father and wants to travel on the tractor with his father needs his father's strength to lift him up and put him on the tractor to travel with him. The young boy who wants to be with his parents in the motor car needs the parent when he is young to pick him up and put him in the motor car. The young boy that wants to go hunting with his father needs the father's hand to hold his, and he needs to be walked into the forest, and he needs the strength of his father. The young boy, when he's in the midst of the wilderness where the mountains are and the snow caps shine, needs his father, for his father is the compass. His father is the strength. His father, when the wild animals cry in the night or move in the bushes, his father is the comfort. And the child needs the father, just as the Christian is needing the father. We lose our way. We are overawed by the panorama of life. We are spooked by the howl of the coyote.
the rustling of the bushes as the bear passes by. We are frightened as we see the herd of elk coming dashing down the mountain to our campsite. We are frightened. We need the Father. And the gospel is this, the good news is this, I will strengthen thee. But look also at the gift. For the word of God still tells us in this verse 10, I will help thee. How does God help? Well, when the bear causes the bushes to rustle, when the coyote yowls his yowl, when the elk come tearing down the side of the mountain, it is the Father who protects us from the wolf and the bear. It is the Father that protects us from the stampeding herd. It is the Father that protects us from all the things that are against us. The psalmist says he puts a hedge all the way around. He is our shield. He puts a great shield between us and the frightening circumstances of life. We discover the gift of God is this, I am with thee always, even unto the end. How precious that is. But lastly, look and see with me the goodness of this wondrous gospel. It says here, I will be with thee, the right hand of my righteousness, with the right hand of my righteousness. Jesus, it is recorded, has ascended unto the Father and sits at the right hand of the Father in glory. The Bible says that the Lord Jesus has gone up to be with his Father in heaven, and this is part of his reward. The Bible teaches that the Lord Jesus only can sit at the right hand of the Father in glory, and whilst he's there, he is ever living to make intercession on our behalf. That is, I keep on stumbling. I keep on faltering. I keep on turning to the left and turning to the right. The Bible says I continually do it. And I know I do. I raise the sights. And I know that my aim is accurate. But somehow my aim is faulty. And I don't quite make it. Jesus ever lives to make intercession for us. Ladies and gentlemen, the deep privilege that we have is this. Our Lord Jesus, being the fairest of 10,000, our wondrous Lord Jesus, being fairer than the lily of the valley, the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the bright, the morning star, is the heart's desire. And the goodness of God is this, that he who is above all sits at the right hand of the Father on our behalf, presenting our faulty case in an unfaltering way. So what shall we say? Let's say it like the writer of the prophecy of Isaiah says it in this 41st chapter. I, the Lord, am the first and with the last. I am he. Let's be very careful to understand this scripture, for it points to us that we must recognize that we must reckon eventually with God the Father, not with anyone else, for God the Father and God the Son and God the Holy Spirit are three in one, and we must reckon with them. Now today, where are you? Are you scattered because there's a stampede coming down the mountain and it'll stampede right through your family and right through your heart and right into your very experience and scatter all that you have accumulated in your experience? Are you frightened because the bear is moving the bushes not very far from where you stand and he growls and he smells and you can hear him and you can smell him and he's rustling around in the leaves and he's taking all the berries and you see his back and you wonder if he'll spring upon you? Are you frightened because the coyote yowls his way into the night and sings a monotonous and melancholy chorus
and it sounds as if it's all the world is going to become very eerie and your experience in that world is going to end up in disaster, are you frightened? Listen, I am God, says the Father. I don't change, I don't alter. I'll be your strength. I'll be the canopy over your experience, and that canopy shall be called the canopy of love. Will you come to that canopy, young men, young women, older people? Will you come into that place? Oh, of course you can. Of course you can. But it needs your reception of the love of God. It needs your heart to be so generously open to receive the fact that God says, I love you with an everlasting love, and I will not leave you, and I will not forsake you, and I will not let you go. Can you come to such a place? Let's bow in prayer. Our Father, we ask that thy blessing and thy grace shall be upon us now, and that your glory shall be just within our hearts. We pray that your strength will uphold us and keep us. We ask that thou art be mighty close to us, for Jesus' sake. Amen.